Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. Good afternoon, Ashwini.
Hey, Chris. Good afternoon.
Howdy.
Howdy.
So I have an announcement.
Take it away.
To get us started. All right. Sangha is invited to enjoy a relaxing, nourishing time for the body, mind, and spirit in our new offering, a series of workshops on the art of vegetarian cooking, patterned after our popular at-home working meditation retreats. The first workshop is Sunday, May 24th, and will offer step-by-step preparation of a simple meal. The workshop is by donation. For this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders before we get started. If you would like to get in the queue to talk with Ashwini, please press star 6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on one topic and of about 5 minutes would be quite grand. All right. I think we're ready to begin, Ashwini.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
First caller, you are now live and on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Art from Maryland.
Hey, Art.
Hi, sweetie. Gee, I'm really glad to be on. I've been looking at the illusion of separateness, and how I get talked into hiding, the sensation is just kind of numb. You know, I have a numb sensation, and there's a thought about, I get told that I'm not really alive, that I'm not really participating, and I'm probably going to back out of any risk taking. And so then the feeling that comes up from that is shame, you know, like just a shame. And then the reaction to that is more withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're doing a process map, right? You're watching the process, right? So first of all, it's an interesting one that the sensation is described as not numb, because if you have a sensation, then obviously you're alive, right? Because there's no sensation. If you're truly numb, you wouldn't have a sensation, which is just interesting to watch as you notice the process. So you can see it's being labeled in a particular way, right? And the label that is experienced is numbness, but the conversation is what's interesting. You are told you're not alive, you're likely to quit participating, and that is the voice that is creating your experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. It's creating my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Of course it is. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if we paid even, you know, just to be reflected like that, the reason we are encouraged to write down the what we're observing is happening in our heads is so that we can look at it at a distance and have that kind of reflection of, wait a second, if I am not alive, how could I be experiencing any sensation or any feeling?
Wow, if I'm not alive, how could I be experiencing any sensation or any feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's fine. I'm sorry, I've got a reminder. It's funny. I just lost what I was going to say.
Take a minute. Take a breath. That's okay.
Yeah.
This is important, right? Because you were looking. Yeah. Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I project there was a disidentification moment right there where you
right.
saw it.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So it's amazing in that just because it's amazing. And I'm seeing that that I can just drop it all and just be here and enjoy, you know, every day is a beautiful day, and especially right now, you know, everything's beautiful. And
mm-hmm.
so I get to be alive just
mm-hmm.
because I am.
That's right. You get to be alive because you are. You have to be
yeah.
told, talked into believing that you're not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that's why I think it's so fun when we get that with some practice, whatever's in whatever the voice is saying, it's good information. So it says, you know, you're not going to take a risk. Okay, what's the risk that I could look around and say, what's the risk I can take right now? Can I risk dropping it? Can I risk dropping the conversation? Or you're numb. Really? Let me pinch myself. Do I feel that? Of course I'm alive.
Wow. Yeah. And I noticed energy being available
yeah.
when I dropped, you know, I all of a sudden ego wasn't taking away, you know, eating up all the energy, and I had it available. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. And that's a beautiful.
Yeah.
In fact, when we laugh, right? When that laughter is the
yeah.
that instant of disidentification, it's like the train tracks get switched. The track is going headed towards the program
yeah,
that is
yeah.
taking all the energy, and suddenly you flip the track, and all the energy comes rushing back to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that train track switch thing. Yeah, that's totally my experience. Wow. That's so neat. Well, okay. Choo-choo.
Yeah, choo-choo.
Okay.
Yes, thanks for calling in, Art, and giving
thank,
us all a chuckle.
Thank you. Thank you. Go happy.
You too.
Thank you, Art. All right, Ashwini and chugging right along. We
mm-hmm.
have another caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Ashwini. This is Sequoia calling.
Hey, Sequoia.
I did get a chance to speak this morning on the show. I don't know if we want to let somebody to... Yeah.
It's up to you, Sequoia. I'm happy
okay.
to hear from you again.
Okay.
I'm sure
all right.
everyone else is too. Go ahead.
Well, I'll, there's another issue I'd like to look at.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the body and physical sensations, which is a very big karmic hot spot for me, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 4 years or so, I've just had a dramatic change in my experience in the body. A lot of sensations that seem to signal that something's wrong, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There are no medical, so far, medical tests have not revealed a cause for this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they could continue to go deeper with the tests, or I could drop the conversation.
Sequoia, would you mind giving me an example of one of the sensations? Like, what would it be?
Sure. It's a lot of heaviness in my legs, and sometimes it's just general body-wise. Feels
so. It's a feeling of a heaviness, almost
yes.
like you can't. It's too heavy to lift your body.
Almost like a
sensation of weight, you could say. Suddenly, gravity for you is a different factor on the earth, and so you feel heavier than most of the rest of us.
Exactly. Like I was walking around under a weighted blanket.
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah, and a little bit of dizziness with that. And so, consequently, the most comfortable position to be in is sitting or lying down, because there is no experience of that sensation, which you know, I'm sure egocentric karmic conditioning. I mean, what a wonderful spot to have me in. Where I just don't want to move. And let's see.
But do you move, Sequoia?
This
weight and the dizziness, I'm projecting you just can't sit or lie down. You have to get up and go to work or go to the bathroom, presumably, or something. There's the ability to overcome the discomfort and proceed with being functional.
Exactly. And there is a choice being made to participate rather than, you know, collapse. And what I notice it, and I can attend an 8-hour job that it demands that I am on my feet the entire time.
Now, isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And, you know, boy, it's just, there is, of course, a little bit of dread before that, because I'm listening to, you know, listening to a conversation, and then my direct experience of it is, it varies, but I have never not finished a complete shift because my body just collapsed.
And so is your experience during that shift that you're constantly battling the feeling of heaviness, or is it just something that you just show up and while you're on your shift, that isn't your experience? Or that it doesn't interfere with your ability to perform the job?
It's not interfering with my ability to perform the job, and I do notice there is a pretty regular checking, you know, to see how things are going and,
whether you're going to collapse the next minute or not.
Exactly.
Or whether you think, okay.
Am I going to complete this job or is something going to happen here? It feels to me, I guess guidance around, dropping the conversation feels like the most.
So let me make sure I'm tracking, right? Because it's not a medical situation. There are no tests that can, you could potentially do some more tests, but really the superficial level of tests seems to say that there's nothing wrong, right? Like there's nothing medically wrong. There are certain positions that you're comfortable in, but you can't be in those positions all the time. So you go about doing your life and can be functional.
So
where does that leave you? It sounds like where it leaves you is that the diagnosis is the only thing you can do is to eliminate the conversation.
Exactly.
Not to lie down, not to sit, not to go, not to not go to your job, but just simply at least get rid of the thing that makes this situation more difficult than it is.
Exactly. And I have gone in and out of, I've done that. I am, you know, no longer going to live my life based on how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an option here. This could be the new normal. I don't know. And am I going to just embrace that and, yeah, just embrace it instead of being, yeah.
And so what, do you have an insight about how you might go about doing that?
Well,
I mean, has anything dropped in yet?
Just the loving support of, you know, the mentor. We are living life.
Uh-huh.
I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm highly suspicious
mm-hmm.
Of other periods in my life when I have been stopped because of the way I feel or, you know, mm-hmm. just physical things. So,
there's a couple of different ways to go with it, right? Because obviously you're paying such close attention,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a good, paying close attention without concluding anything or without without necessarily having to know an outcome. Okay, well, in mm-hmm. this situation, this is how I feel. I clearly am checking constantly and like that. But I think paying attention is good because life is always going to give us some information. But it sounds mm-hmm. so much like the situation is a result of or related to a conversation that you would like to stop.
Yeah.
With that clarity, it's possible to come up with a training structure. So, for example, one of the things you've noticed is when I'm at work, there's a constant scanning to see if I'm all right. Now, mm-hmm. if that makes you suffer or that distracts you or that if that's what you want to work on, mm-hmm. we could create a training program around that, which says you set an alarm. And when the alarm goes off, the mentor asks the human being, is there anything that I can do for you?
Mm-hmm.
If there is no alarm, there is no checking.
Okay.
But there is time to check. And that's the only time I'm going to check in with myself and see if I'm all right.
Okay. That's great because the options that presented to me are all or nothing.
Yeah. Yes, I kind of heard that in the you just have to globally accept that this is your lot in life,
right.
and the loving support of the mentor to be able to accept that, right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, because you might actually be tired and you need to sit, which mm-hmm. I think would be a good thing to do if you're feeling tired in the middle of an 8-hour shift.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that could be one structure during the work time where you train yourself to not let conditioning do the checking or the anxious person do the checking, but to have a conscious check-in as opposed to an unconscious check-in.
Love it. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
And that's what the paying attention does, because it allows the awareness to register the places of particular places of suffering that then you can put a support structure specifically in place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you want to lie down because it's one of the most comfortable places to be and you're afraid that you're not going to get up, you could set an alarm and get up.
Mm-hmm.
When the alarm goes off, and
mm-hmm.
and the alarm and there's a recording that you might want to play with when you set that up. Or, for example, there's dread before you go into the job because the voices are making you suffer at the possibility that you might collapse. So
mm-hmm.
before you go into the job, before you leave the house, or whenever the dread shows up, there's a
mm-hmm.
recording that's a reassurance that says, You know, Sequoia, you've never been not able to complete to complete the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you are absolutely able to show up. Is there something that you need right now? A glass of water, take a couple of deep breaths, stop on the way and smell a bunch of flowers. What do you want before you go to the job? Because you don't want to be experiencing dread, you want to be experiencing ease.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's extremely helpful.
And I think the most profound insight you had is what the conditioning wanted to be global, and you wanted to be very specific. Because in every moment that you are encountering, say, Mara in its in a particular form, there's compassion that can be tuned to be specific to the incarnation having the experience in that form. I mean, that's what we're learning to do. I don't need these structures eventually because I am because that conscious awareness is what's operating and walking with me through life.
Great. This is just bringing up a lot. I don't want to continue, but
go ahead.
I was just thinking one of the breakthroughs I had recently was a few years back I had a period of panic attacks when I couldn't get out of bed. And a light went off the other day, like, there's some similarities here of just kind of the same process. And and so then it goes to this, you know, well, this all must be in your head, so just ignore it and carry on. So
just writing about it, Sequoia, an Amusings article, which is when there, this is something that Screwtape says, right? The thing that Screwtape wants to do is to separate you from the light. Your own light. But that's the whole the program is there to make you feel separate from that. And so you want to face what separates you. Because otherwise, the resistance to facing it and the reluctance to face it will keep building in energy till you can't do it, right? Which is why that's intuitively what you're doing. I don't care if what is the most comfortable place is lying down or sitting down. I'm going to get myself up and go do my job. Only because as a practitioner, you don't want to be controlled by that system. Don't want it to have its life force.
Right.
And so you have to face whatever it's doing to you to prove that it's not going to be able to do it to you. And if you're being successful, right, having all these insights, facing things, like you said this morning, then that system is losing its grip. So it doesn't seem to be surprising that there's an escalation of it.
I can really relate to the part, when you were talking about Screwtape wants to keep us from our own light and
an experience of our own adequacy.
Yeah, and I feel that, you know, it's attempt to escalate that, but you know what? it's not working.
And you know, pardon the pun here, right? The contrast to light is heavy.
Interesting. Yeah. huh. Okay, well, thank you. I'm going to practice the lightness of being.
Yes, and the unbearable lightness of being.
The unbearable lightness of being. And I have great support and kind for that. So.
Yeah, and I would write down all your insights into the particulars and then set up your structures against those particulars.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great.
All right. Thank you, Sequoia.
Thank you, Lenny. Gesho.
Gesho.
Thank you, Sequoia. And Ashwini, I know in my own practice, I'm always impressed when there's a body sensation, how quickly I'm conditioned to believe the meaning that's attached to that. It seems like the last two callers have been kind of starting in that place.
Just extraordinary. It arises almost, it's like you don't even know you have the sensation.
Exactly, yeah.
But you do know what the meaning is.
Right, yeah, that's really obvious, right? And then the attention is off with it before... mm-hmm. You know, I've even had a chance to examine it, like we've been talking about. For sure. And then there's that question of it's so clear they're in cahoots with each other, that the mm-hmm. as the attention goes off with the meaning of the sensation, then is that supporting the sensation? Is that increasing the sensation? That kind of a thing. And you know, they mirror each other in some way that seems like they support each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so being in the inquiry is just the most important part.
Exactly. Yeah. And the training program that you just specified, mm-hmm. that seems like that's going to break that cycle as well. So, yeah, very cool. All right. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hello. This is Jamie in Delaware.
Hey, Jamie.
I'd like to look at anger and my anger. And I start with the idea that anger can have degrees, anything from a mild irritation up to feeling, you know, either wanting to yell or yell at somebody, something like that. So it's
right there with you.
And well, there was one situation at work a few days ago where I felt that this individual person was, one, not doing what he should be doing. He was more or less wasting time in my perspective. And I also thought that he either gets or takes privileges that he shouldn't really get, and that's all based on my perception, and I got a little bit irritated. Now, I also realized that when I look at the situation, that he does a very good job, and I think he's somebody that in another job in another place in his life has worked as a supervisor, but in this job he's not a supervisor because he only works part-time. So as I've looked at it, I mean, the anger comes from me. And it, first of all, anger doesn't help anything as far as I can tell. It mm-hmm. absolutely has no real value. at least I can't find it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a really interesting place, right, Jamie? Because that's true for the person who's saying that, but perhaps not so true for the person who got irritated.
Well, I mean, if I think, there's also, well, I can think that something, maybe I should do something or I whatever it is, or without being angry. I mean, in any situation, I can do what I choose to do with or without anger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if I'm tracking what you're saying, the, you know, getting angry doesn't actually do anything except release a bunch of energy, and probably can right. cause some level of harm, either to yourself or to the other person, right? Well, and so there's a desire not to act out from anger. And what I'm hearing you yeah. saying is there's a willingness to explore where that energy is, because you can yeah. see it's not helpful. So the way we do it in awareness practice is to basically, as you are doing, inquire what is the reason that energy gets activated in you? Because it's important to ask that question. You don't need to act out of it. There may not be any value to it, but it's happening.
Yes. And somehow it could be related to some fear and linked to ego telling me that I'm not good enough, that I need to take care of myself, and this anger is a way to do it. But that's based on something I'm not okay.
Well, so the situation makes you afraid, the fact that this person who's clearly taking certain privileges, or is the situation or the person that you, are you afraid of the person or the situation, or are you saying that there's a voice in your head that is making you afraid about around anger?
Yeah, well, part of it, I'm not physically afraid of the person. Mm-hmm. I may be afraid in the sense of not measuring up or mm-hmm. not being the right person, something like that. And I think anger is something maybe more so in the past I wanted to hide or not admit to, which is one reason I'm talking about it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Jamie, just as let's just say a way to open up the conversation, right? Oftentimes, yeah. the reason that there's a lot of energy that gets expressed as anger is because there's a suppression of something that we're not aware of, right? The suppression of energy that builds over time and then explodes out uncontrollably. So let's just explore that, okay? So in this situation, okay. when you watch this person taking privileges taking privileges or wasting time, would you say that your conditioning, the conditioning that operates you, would never allow you to do that? You would never be allowed to waste time. You would never be allowed to take those privileges.
Well, I'm not sure that I would never do it, but I would surely tell myself that I shouldn't do it.
Or you would be told that you shouldn't do it.
Yes,
right?
Ego would tell me I shouldn't do it. And in fact, I try yes. not to do it, although nobody's...
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
perfect.
So there's no freedom there, right? So there's no freedom there. There's being pushed. That energy is, whatever that energy is that's arising, is being held down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The energy that's pushing me to be, to do the right thing and be the,
yes,
the right person?
Correct. You're being boxed, right?
Yeah,
you're seeing somebody do something and you get angry. Primarily, I mean, we're just exploring this, right? Perhaps because you're not allowed to do certain things. You're being controlled by the conditioning, the system. To you do this and you're right. You don't do this, that you're right. So the energy is being constrained by all these shoulds that
right.
you have to be boxed into. And so,
yes.
right? And so
yeah.
that's why you look at it and you're trying to release that energy by releasing the people who've been conditioned to behave in certain ways and asking them what they feel and what they'd really like to do and what's going on for them. Because it may or may not have anything to do with the content of the situation in which that guy right. is taking privileges. He just happens to be the target of all that anger, right? All of that energy. But
yeah.
that within your being, the energy is being managed, it's being controlled, it's being suppressed, it's being directed. And at some point, the human being can feel all of that happening to him, right? Like, and so whatever wants to be free wants to explore that and release that.
Right. I think it's added to what I've said or to emphasize something is that I think he gets my perception is he gets positive recognition and still gets away with this. So there's an I also perceive there's an unfairness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It might be
absolutely
small. It might be small.
Yeah.
There's some of that. But then I also realize I can go to work, I'm there to make some money, do my job, and go home, and regardless of what he does, I'm going to do the same job and just approach things that way.
Yes, absolutely. And so you can send that person to work, but you still
right.
have to take care of the person who is irritated or gets irritated or feels shut
right.
in. I mean, that's why we interview, and that's why we do the two-handed, right, Jamie? Because we are
yes.
not one person. There's a lot of compartments in our being. And so
right.
it's quite possible that you could recruit the person who understands that it's all about making money, can keep his head down and not care about
right.
this other person. But you
right.
cannot ensure that the person who gets irritated and who's angry doesn't show up.
No, I can remind myself that it doesn't seem to accomplish or help anything to
right.
identify
but
that
you do,
person.
Yes, you can, but you want to take care of that person because you don't want
right.
that person to act out and then be beaten up. So in other words,
mm-hmm.
another way of saying that is we can, the centered, grown-up, mature worker, the
mm-hmm.
cool-headed person, the rational person, all of those people can be, they are all aspects of you that can go to work.
Right.
And you want to explore, interview, talk to the guy who feels angry because
right.
there's something going right. on for him and you want to release him from that anger. And until you do, that anger is going to arise inappropriately.
Right. And there's no reason that I have to hold on to the anger. But, yes, I can look
well,
where it's coming from.
You,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that I'm making a point here that I hope you'll hear. You are
right.
not holding on to the anger, right? The person who says, I don't need to hold on to the anger is not angry.
Right. That's a different part of me that's angry.
That's a different part of you. So to take care of that is really, really important because then everything, then all parts of you are in harmony, right? There's not one part of you that is being moved out of the way in order to get this job done and not to have any confrontations and to not be angry because all of that is conditioning. That's what he got in the first place. Don't get angry. It's just a job. Go be peaceful. Do your work. Keep your head down. You can do that.
Yes.
Sure,
but
you can.
Yeah. So I need to look at
that. But
that
doesn't transcend the suffering. Yes.
No,
it doesn't transcend the suffering that you want to address that is behind
yeah.
the anger.
Yeah, okay. I will look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying. And I can always
yeah.
listen to this again.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And call back in and let us know what you see.
I will. Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Thanks,
gotcha.
Jamie.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Chris? Did I lose you?
You did.
No.
I was muted. Hopefully
oh,
I'm back. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That just seems like such an important shift to be able to make, to be able to move into that place of getting to know the person who has that anger, to be interviewing and, letting that person, let that part know there are other experiences available to him other than being contained by the conditioning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We want to free everybody. Or we want to free all the karmic knots.
Exactly. Yeah, much better stated. Yeah, perfect. All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
Oh, hi. It's Jill in Massachusetts.
Hey, Jill.
Hi. Well, I've been looking at, first of all, I participated in the workshop on Sunday after it was after it. So I did it through the recording, and so it was really helpful to look at some subpersonalities. So similar to what the previous caller was doing, I was just kind of looking at some of the people involved in this bundle of suffering that I'm experiencing. Mm. It involves the dilemma. What's being presented as the problem is, should I move in with my father or not? And then my father is elderly, and he does pretty well. He does pretty well, but he wants me to. I'm just feeling some dutiful daughter pressure to do that. So I was just looking at, dutiful daughter is a sub-personality, as is, independent Jill. There's the Jill who wants the security that she imagines would. She's balancing, what would make her feel more secure, staying in her apartment or being there, money-wise mostly. And then I'm embarking on this new career. So new career, Jill is like, yeah, no, don't do that. Don't move in. I mean, you would basically have a bedroom in his house. So how are you going to sort of function? One thing that I did kind of have a question around was, it seems like I could just go on and on with the subpersonalities. Like, I think I could probably come up with maybe 20 who have a stake in this question that keeps coming around for me. I don't know, it started to feel, I can't find my original list, so I was just like looking at a couple of them while you and I were speaking, but I don't know, I just kind of felt like that making it, keeping it kind of short would be better in working with this, but
That's an interesting process. So to me, Rigel, the process that we do when we are processing is illuminating in itself, right?
Yeah.
It's the process
yeah.
we don't see, which mm-hmm. is which I project is like there's an outcome. In other words, you're going to resolve it.
But that there's a personality that has that expectation, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that if you looked at the suffering and you found out all these people and took care of all these people, then you're not something. There's not going to be suffering.
Yeah, I kind of got that to that a little bit in listening to the last caller. That giving me, Jill, like some space away from this dilemma might be good.
Yes. Well, and so to me, there's so much in your wisdom and what you just said, that what the process of that you're in one of the takeaways, if you step back and look at it, is it's a complex situation. Yeah. There are lots of people with lots of conflicting views, and because of that, it's a difficult situation. There's no way, actually, what you're getting to is there's so many people with so many different stakes in this situation, there's not a real way to resolve it to everyone's satisfaction.
Yeah.
It just isn't. You could spend all your time, and this is your insight, right? And the wisdom of it is so profound.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely changed. Yeah, it was an unexpected sort of turn in this looking mm-hmm. at it. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you turn it over to all these aspects in this process map, or in the process, the suffering is inevitable because they're not going to be able to resolve it. And so part of what we get to, right, is the centered place where everybody can have their experience, but that centered place which can hold it all. Which is contentless in some ways, right? Because all these people are interested in content.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really interesting because when you said that, what dropped in was, yeah, and I think as life progresses, that seems more and more, I mean, as I get older, frankly, like things get so complex. There's so many people involved. I don't know. It just seems like that to me is more the place I get to, which is like, you know, this is what is. I actually don't have to do anything. I can just tend to, you know, the person the suffering that's happening, like, yeah, just kind of, I'm sorry to hear that, darling.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So what I hear you saying, if this is what you are saying, is the awareness, I mean, when there's only one person around, it's difficult because you don't know why it feels the way it feels, right?
Yeah.
So, but then as you explore the process map, what happens is that the awareness expands to give you information about why it feels complex and difficult and difficult to resolve, because it's just a bunch of people, all of whom want something and something different. It's getting to, you're not going to, that expanded awareness gives you the information that you're not going to resolve it by taking care. There is no answer that you can come up with that can help everybody and satisfy everybody. Mm. So the only option is to get to, I have to turn this over to life. Because life can resolve complexity in a way that we can't. Right?
Mm.
Because in the moment, there's only one thing, there is only the moment to resolve. Whereas if I'm having to resolve it for all of these different people, I'm not in the moment because they're not in the moment.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's really, really helpful. And that just resonates so much with my experience in general, which is...
Mm-hmm.
When the, you know, sitting in the question, which is a phrase that's, you know, we use a lot, and then when the knock comes, you just open the door. I mean, I don't have to look for the door. I don't have to, you know.
It really is. Yes, and I think it's the spiritual maturity that allows us to realize that at some level, this is not my life. Right? It's life's life, and life's unfolding it on life's terms, along life's timelines, whatever. I am being carried in this process. Or the process is carrying me, or however you want to phrase that.
Mm.
So you really don't have the ability to resolve it. You don't have the ability to know what the answer is. But there's a willingness to trust that the unfolding is perfect.
Hmm. Yeah, that really hit a painful place when you said that. Because that's...
Say more.
Well, I don't... It's... It's just the powerlessness, I guess, I have over my father aging and dying, and potentially, you know. Mm. And so...
There you go. That's probably the one person you haven't encountered.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't on the list. Maybe the most important person.
Yes. Mm. And that, I think, Jill, is what makes us religious, right?
Mm.
Because we can know, we can trust that we are perfectly taken care of. We will find what we need to know in order to truly resolve it. And the resolution doesn't look like anything we thought it was going to be.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I just project that your entire process map collapsed in that moment.
Yeah, this conversation has definitely changed everything about it right now. So,
And that's what we're talking about in the workshop, about coming to the white paper, right? Because what you got in touch with was love.
Yeah.
And for love, there are no problems.
Hmm. Yeah, and unconditional love, and because it feels very personal, like it feels very daughter father love, and I don't know, there's a pain in that I guess I'm just part of feeling.
Well, that maybe would be something to explore in a two-handed or an interview or something, right? Just because it's what I was talking to Sequoia about. As soon as the insight arrives, it becomes very particular. It's almost like you get to the bottom of the well, and that's what life wants you to look at in that moment.
Mm. Yeah, and also, too, this could just be because I do feel like my energy has shifted. I feel like I was awakened for a moment, and now I'm back to being conditioned. But just how much that personalizing of it has kind of brought something else.
Yeah, which is a good place to look at, right? It's really good. The process that you're in is looking at the personal to the universal, the specific to the global, and then oscillating. But that's okay, because that's the process you signed up for.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I just saw that. Yep. I get that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Ashwini, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Kasha.
Keep us posted, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you, Jill. And Jill, I cannot unmute you or mute you. If you could mute yourself or call back in, that would be great. And next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jardine in California.
Hey, Jardine.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Chris. I was actually just calling in with a little update. I'm speaking of staying in touch. And something I haven't been able to get any time on this way before. And the first thing was that I had a scare about breast cancer in February.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have a little surgical biopsy, and it turned out that I got the best news possible, which was that there was nothing to worry about, and I didn't even have to have more frequent, exams or anything like that. And so it was, the experience was one of just really being so glad that I'm practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see, you know, I had to wait. Oh, actually, I got a cold, and I had to push my appointment for the biopsy off to almost a month after they had found the suspicious, you know, results.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a whole month, you know, I could see the pull into the dark room.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Really a celebration there, right, Jodine? Like
yeah.
Going toe-to-toe with the worthy opponent and waiting for good or bad news is one of them. It's like an endurance contest.
Right, right. And yeah, there's like, it's like you're trained up and you're ready to go, but there's nothing you can do until, you know, the race day.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so, my equivalent is at the end, you know, a 36-hour flight, and you know you can, in the last 1.5-2 hours, you just can't get off the plane.
Oh, my gosh. Yep, yep. And so that was wonderful, and I'm happy to say that, you know, If I put it in terms of a duality, I got the best possible result.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other update is that I have gone into a new phase of my Parkinson's treatment, which is going really well, and I just couldn't be more pleased with the decision I made to try it and all the effort I put into to doing the procedure. So this therapy is using an infusion pump to mm-hmm. deliver the Parkinson's medication, which I used to take in a pill form. And it delivers the medication in a very steady dose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big reasons why it was developed, because the fluctuations in the medication when you take the pills causes a lot of, like, it's very uncomfortable, say, when the pills wear off before the next time you're supposed to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And and also, there's a side effect you can get because of these fluctuations. Like, if the medication gets too high, like mm-hmm. shortly after you take your dose, then you get this kind of uncontrolled movement syndrome, mm-hmm. which can be very uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
And even dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I switched to this new system, and it's not that different from the system they use to deliver insulin for a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a little port with a needle that goes under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's connected via a tube to the pump, which is probably like, it's maybe the size of like 3 cell phones stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to tend to it like every day. And so again, I think that if I wasn't practicing, I'm kind of not even sure I would have even contemplated using this system.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I project onto that, right, Jodine, is the practice you're talking to is paying attention, being a person who mm-hmm. can attend to detail, right? Because you've got mm-hmm. that thing attached to you, you've got to tend to it every day,
mm-hmm.
then it has great benefits. But if you weren't an awareness practitioner, being the and a person who could trust themselves to be able to take care of themselves in this way and to take care of this thing in this way, it would be impossible to approach. It would be a failure, right? The pump, you wouldn't take care of it. You wouldn't pay attention to it. Something could go wrong. But the gratitude for the training in the practice of paying attention is what I think you're applauding, right? Being grateful for.
Right, right. And the really interesting thing is that before I went to my doctor, they start you in the doctor's office,
mm-hmm.
And they evaluate you, you know, handling all the medical supplies and stuff. And before that day, conditioning was just screaming at me about everything it could think of, every little doubt I had, you know, about the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this system is completely reversible,
mm-hmm.
unlike, you know, some other interventions I've had for Parkinson's, it was just screaming at me for some reason that I wasn't going to be able to do it. And a friend of mine said, you know, heard and, you know, found out about, like, you know, what's involved and everything. She's like, Jodine, you're a scientist. You've worked your whole life in laboratories. Like, what is going to be hard about this?
Yeah. 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 Exactly. And we do need those kinds of reflections in the middle of an ego attack. Right.
Yeah.
That it bring it, as I said to the previous person, it makes us religious, because in some ways we get to know how well we're taken care of.
Yes. Right. Oh. Right. So I've just been having kind of an adventure, and
well, I'm so glad that you called in and gave us the update on all the happy news. The happy
yeah.
news about the cancer scare, the happy news that this particular intervention is working, the happy news that you're grateful for practice. So thank you for letting us know, Jodine.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, that I'm like loving life.
And you're loving life. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and we really appreciate it, because you've been, you know, there have been times when you've been in hell and not sure you would be back. And so when
right.
when it's going well, let's enjoy it completely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jodine.
Go happy.
You too. Go happy.
Thank you, Jodine. And Ashwini, it's just so grand to hear these.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, where people are supported by practice, despite the, as you say, the ego attacks. It's just like life-affirming
and
for all.
And the circumstances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you so much for a fabulous show, Ashwini.
And you too, Chris. Thank you so much for hosting. And I guess we'll talk to more callers tomorrow morning on Best Shape Possible, and then every day on the radio show, and then
all right.
Next show for day.
All kinds of opportunities. So,
all
yeah.
kinds of opportunities.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Chris. Take
Thank
care.
You too. Go happy. Yeah.
Bye-bye.